Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring capybara calmness secrets. Why these giant rodents are so chill.
Imagine a giant, like, 150-pound rat.
That is a very big rat.
Right. Huge. Now, I want you listening to imagine that this giant rat is taking a nice long nap on a muddy riverbank.
Okay. Sounds peaceful.
Yeah. Except it's sleeping right next to a deadly meat-eating crocodile.
Oh, wow.
And the craziest part, the crocodile is totally fine with it.
It doesn't even care.
Not at all. Welcome to today's deep dive. I am so, so incredibly glad you're here with us listening today because we have a very special mission.
We really do.
We are exploring the wild, wonderful, and honestly, slightly weird world of the capybara.
The absolute largest rodent on Earth.
Exactly. And our mission today is to figure out the science behind why these giant, adorable creatures are the undisputed champions of chill.
It is such a brilliant topic. And hello to you listening.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Definitely. You know, when we look at a capybara, which if you haven't seen one, it kind of looks like a giant boxy guinea pig.
A very heavy one.
Right. They can weigh as much as a large dog. And it's incredibly easy to just assume they're lazy.
I mean, they do look pretty lazy.
They do. They spend hours upon hours just lounging around in the sun. They look completely unbothered by the rest of the world.
Okay, unbothered.
But when we look closely at the biology research and, you know, behavioral studies, we discover that their peacefulness isn't about being lazy at all.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It is actually a highly complex million-year-old survival strategy.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because if I am a giant rodent living out in the wild, my first instinct would absolutely not be to just take a nap out in the open.
That would be a bad idea for most animals.
Right. So before we can even look at how they behave around other animals, we have to look inside their bodies.
Mm.
There has to be a physical mechanism driving this, right?
Yeah.
Something that stops them from just constantly panicking.
There is, actually. And it is entirely wired into their neurobiology.
Okay, break that down for us.
Well, inside every animal's body, including yours, listening right now, there is a nervous system that acts like a command center.
Like a control room in your brain.
Exactly. It controls how you react to the world around you. And a major part of that command center is called the parasympathetic nervous system.
It's a big word.
It is, but you can just think of it as the body's built-in rest and digest mode.
Rest and digest. I like that.
Yeah. And in capybaras, this specific system is highly, highly developed.
So it's almost like they have a biological pause button.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Because usually when you think of rodents, like, you know, mice or hamsters.
They're so jumpy.
Right. Their internal alarm system seems to be stuck on, like, red alert, game over, run.
Literally vibrating with anxiety.
Exactly. But the capybara system just works differently.
It does. When smaller rodents get scared, their bodies just flood with stress chemicals.
Like adrenaline.
Right. And it takes them a very long time to calm down. But the capybara's biological pause button allows them to recover incredibly quickly.
Whoa.
Yeah, if a loud noise startles them, their parasympathetic nervous system immediately kicks in. It slows their heart rate down and physically forces their body back to a baseline state of relaxation.
That is basically a superpower.
It really is.
And looking at the source materials, it isn't just their nervous system doing all the heavy lifting.
No, not at all.
Their entire anatomy is practically engineered to take things slow.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they have a naturally slow resting heart rate, which conserves a massive amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And their breathing system is so incredibly efficient that it keeps their oxygen levels totally steady.
Which is key.
Right, because that prevents that panicked, heavy breathing you see in other scared animals.
Exactly. And they also have a very unique chemical profile in their brains.
Oh, the hormones.
Yes.
Yeah.
They naturally produce high levels of a chemical called oxytocin.
Wait, I know that one. That's the hug hormone.
That is the one.
Nice.
It earned the nickname the hug hormone because, well, in both humans and animals, it's the chemical responsible for making us feel bonded.
Like when you hug your mom or your best friend.
Exactly. It makes us feel safe and connected to our families. And when a capybara's brain releases oxytocin, it actively blocks fear signals from taking over.
It just shuts the fear down.
Yes. It literally chemically soothes them. It reduces anxiety and promotes the strong sense of harmony with whatever's going on around them.
Which is just wild to me.
It's fascinating.
And on top of that, they even have built-in air conditioning.
They do.
Now, you, the young listener right now, might be wondering, Do they sweat like we do when they get hot?
That's a good question.
But they don't. They have this really dense, coarse fur to protect them from the sun. But they actually regulate their body temperature through their noses and their feet.
Yeah, the mechanism there is quite clever.
How does that work?
Well, their noses and their paws have a special network of blood vessels, and they're situated right near the surface of their skin. So when they get too hot, their bodies pump warm blood into those areas. The outside air cools the blood down through the skin, and then that freshly chilled blood circulates right back into their body.
Are you kidding? It's like having liquid coolant running through a car engine.
It's very similar, yeah.
They just stick their toes and snoots in the breeze and instantly cool down?
Pretty much.
Plus, they have a highly specialized digestive system. It's designed to slowly ferment the tough grasses they eat.
Right. They are grazers.
So they don't get sudden sugar rushes. They just slowly, continuously munch and digest all day long.
Which keeps their energy levels perfectly flat and stable.
So all of this, the slow heart rate, the oxytocin, the cooling toes, it all adds up.
It does. All these physical traits work together to create a state that biologists call relaxed alertness.
Relaxed alertness.
Yes. They are constantly paying attention to their surroundings, but their bodies simply refuse to let them stress out about it.
Okay, but wait, hold on. I have to push back on this.
Okay, go for it.
If you are a giant, slow-moving, 100-pound walking chicken nugget living out in the wild.
A walking chicken nugget.
I mean, that's what they look like to predators. Isn't being completely relaxed a terrible idea? Shouldn't you be terrified?
It definitely sounds like a contradiction, I know.
Right.
But to make sense of it, we have to look at their neighborhood. Capybaras are native to South America.
Okay.
They live in savannas, thick forests, and dense wetlands. And they share these habitats with some of the fiercest hunters on the planet.
Like what?
We are talking about massive jaguars, giant anacondas, and caimans.
Oh, caimans are like alligators, right?
Exactly.
So they're basically living in a neighborhood where almost everyone else would love to eat them for lunch.
That is an accurate assessment, and yet they do not live in a state of chronic anxiety.
How is that even possible?
Let's picture a scenario to understand how that relaxed alertness actually keeps them alive.
Okay, paint me a picture.
Imagine a capybara is munching on some grass near the water, and it hears the tall reeds rustle. A jaguar is creeping up.
Okay, most animals would instantly scream and sprint away.
But not the capybara.
Why not?
Because sprinting away triggers a chase. A giant rodent frantically crashing through the bushes is going to make a massive amount of noise.
Oh, true.
It wastes vital energy, and it instantly triggers the jaguar's instinct to hunt.
It's like throwing a toy for a dog. The dog has to chase it.
Exactly. Instead, the capybara calmly assesses the threat.
What's fascinating here is how stillness becomes a superpower.
Yes, beautifully said. Dr. Jonathan Soulsby, he's an evolutionary biologist, refers to this behavior as selective reactivity.
Selective reactivity.
Yes. It means the capybara's brain is highly developed to calculate exactly when to react and when to stay perfectly statue still.
Wow.
Sometimes just freezing and blending into the shadows of the tall grass is the absolute best way to become invisible.
But what if freezing isn't enough? Like if that jaguar takes one step too close.
Well, the capybara still doesn't panic.
Really?
Nope. It initiates the ultimate escape plan. You see, they are semi-aquatic mammals.
Right. They love the water.
Meaning their bodies are practically engineered for the water.
Oh, I love this part. For you listening right now, I want you to look at your hand.
Hold it right up.
Yeah. Spread your fingers out wide. Now imagine if between every single one of your fingers, you had a thick, stretchy layer of skin connecting them.
Like a flipper.
Exactly. That is exactly what a capybara's foot looks like.
Oh.
They have webbed toes, just like a frog or a duck.
Yeah.
Which turns their feet into powerful underwater paddles.
It does. And their bodies are actually built to float, too.
Like a pool floaty.
Basically. Because of their barrel-like shape and how their fat and lungs are distributed, they are naturally buoyant.
That's amazing.
It is the biological equivalent of wearing a built-in life jacket.
Wow.
Furthermore, their eyes, their ears, and their nostrils are all located right at the very top of their heads.
Oh, so back to our jaguar scenario.
Yes, let's go back to the jaguar.
The predator gets too close. The capybara calmly turns around, slips completely silently into the river, and paddles away.
Completely silent.
Because of where their eyes and nose are placed, they can submerge their entire giant body underwater, leaving just a tiny strip of their face above the surface.
Just peeking out.
Yeah. They become a little furry submarine.
I love that.
And the jaguar is just left standing on the muddy bank, completely confused.
It's an incredibly energy-efficient defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
The water provides a safe haven that most land predators simply cannot navigate as easily.
Obviously. Jaguars aren't great swimmers compared to a capybara.
Right. But slipping into a river is really only one half of the equation.
Oh.
Surviving in a jungle full of predators requires more than just holding your breath. It requires an army.
Yes. Because if you're hiding in the water, you still need lookouts to tell you when it's safe to come out.
Exactly.
So let's talk about their families. Because capybaras almost never do anything alone.
Very true.
They are the ultimate team players. If you spot one capybara in the wild, I guarantee there are a dozen more hiding just out of sight.
They are deeply social creatures. They typically live in highly organized herds of about 10 to 30 individuals.
That's a big family.
It is, though it gets bigger. During the dry season, when water sources dry up and become scarce, multiple groups will often converge around the remaining water.
Oh, so they share?
Yeah, creating massive mega herds of up to 100 capybaras.
100 giant chill rodents having a synchronized pool party.
That's exactly what it looks like.
But logically, you know, with that many animals crammed into one space, you would expect absolute chaos.
You would think so.
Like arguments over who gets the tastiest batch of grass or who gets to sleep in the warmest sunbeam.
Right. In a wolf pack or a monkey troop, you might see constant bickering over those resources.
Always fighting for the alpha spot.
Exactly. But capybaras maintain a strict social structure to prevent that stress.
How so?
Every herd has a very clear team captain, a dominant male who leads the group. And because everyone respects the leader's position, it actually stops arguments before they can even start. The hierarchy provides stability.
That makes sense. And they talk to each other constantly to maintain that stability.
Wait. Was it?
Like you might look at a picture of a capybara and think they're totally silent, but the research shows they are incredibly vocal.
Oh, very vocal.
They use a whole language of funny noises. They purr, they whistle, they bark like little dogs.
But barks are so cute.
They really are. And they do this amazing thing where they chatter their teeth together. It sounds almost like a bunch of tiny typewriters clicking all at once.
I know exactly what you mean. And those vocalizations, they're the glue that holds the herd together.
So they aren't just making noise for fun.
No, they are constantly checking in. If the dominant male hears a strange noise in the forest, he doesn't just run.
Right, selective reactivity.
Exactly. He lets out a specific low purr or a short whistle.
Okay.
That sound travels through the herd and it tells everyone, I'm watching it. We are safe for now.
Wow. And they literally do everything as a team.
Everything.
They rest at the exact same time. They swim in synchronized formations.
Mm-hmm.
They groom each other's fur to pick out dirt and bugs. They even run a communal babysitting service.
This is my favorite part.
Right. The adult capybaras will actually take turns watching over all the babies in the herd.
They just stand guard.
Yeah, standing guard. So the other parents can finally take a nap or go forage for food.
Which requires an immense amount of trust.
Totally.
That supportive herd acts as a psychological shield against the dangers of the jungle. Because they rely on each other so heavily, isolation is actually dangerous for them.
Oh, really?
Yes. If a capybara gets separated from its family, its biological chill button just stops working.
Oh, no.
It becomes highly distressed and will cry out with specific isolation calls, begging its friends to come find it.
Because without their friends, they lose their superpower.
Exactly.
Reminds me of this psychological concept called emotional contagion. For you listening, think about what happens when you're sitting around the living room with your family and someone lets out a really huge, loud, sleepy yawn.
I'm yawning just thinking about it.
Right. What immediately happens to you? You yawn.
The feeling spreads involuntarily.
Exactly. Yawning is contagious. Well, for capybaras, calmness is contagious.
Hmm.
When one capybara feels totally relaxed and safe, its breathing slows down, its body language softens, and that relaxed feeling magically spreads through the whole herd like a yawn.
Wow.
Before you know it, all 30 capybaras are perfectly calm.
That is amazing. Emotional contagion ensures the whole group stays resilient, you know. It prevents unnecessary panic from spreading.
If one is calm, they all become calm.
Exactly. But the mechanism of that contagious calmness goes well beyond their own species.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because that magical contagious chill somehow works on completely different animals, too.
It does.
Capybaras are the ultimate animal magnets.
They are world famous among biologists for their interspecies sociability.
They just love everyone.
Put simply, they have a bizarre habit of hanging out with animals that are not capybaras.
If you look this up online, you will find the most hilarious pictures.
The best pictures.
You'll see a capybara just sitting completely still, looking like a furry Zen master, while a duck, or like a whole flock of little birds, just perches right on its head.
And the capybara doesn't even blink.
Doesn't even care.
It is actually a highly beneficial transaction, believe it or not.
Oh, really? How?
Those birds are usually picking pesky insects, ticks, and parasites out of the capybara's dense fur.
Oh, so the capybara gets a free deep cleaning spa treatment.
Exactly. And the birds get an easy meal and a safe, elevated place to stand where ground predators can't reach them.
That's a win-win. But it's not just tiny birds.
Oh, no.
Monkeys will climb down from the trees and sit on their backs. There are documented records of wild capybaras sleeping side by side with domestic cats and stray dogs.
Just cuddling up.
A giant rodent will just curl up next to a puppy and take a nap.
Yeah.
And the one that completely blows my mind.
Yeah.
They will share the water peacefully with crocodiles.
The crocodiles always shock people.
Wait, a crocodile is a prehistoric apex predator. You're telling me a giant walking chicken nugget just decides to sit next to a dinosaur and the crocodile magically agrees not to eat it?
Basically, yes.
How does that actually work without the capybara becoming lunch?
Well, it requires a cognitive leap that scientists call advanced social cognition.
Advanced social cognition.
Mm-hmm.
Break that down for us. What does that actually look like in the capybara's brain?
Think of it like walking into a crowded school cafeteria.
Okay.
You can look around, see a kid who looks really grumpy, and know instinctively not to sit at their table today.
You just read the room?
Exactly, you read the room. Instead of having a brain that just says, large animal equals danger, run away,
mm-hmm.
a capybara's brain can assess a predator's current state.
Yeah. It can look at a caiman or a crocodile resting with its mouth open in the sun, and the capybara realizes that crocodile's belly is full. It is sunbathing to digest its food. It has no interest in hunting right now.
So instead of panicking, the capybara realizes they can just be polite neighbors for the afternoon.
Precisely.
They sit down, and their contagious calmness actually signals to the crocodile, hey, I'm not a threat. I'm not panicking. Let's just relax.
And the environment makes this possible, too.
How so?
Wetland habitats are incredibly abundant. There is plenty of fresh water, endless lush green grass for the capybaras, and plenty of fish for the crocodile.
Oh, so nobody's starving?
Right. Because there is no shortage of food, the animals don't feel a desperate need to fiercely defend their territory. Resource abundance lowers aggression across the entire ecosystem.
It's an all-you-can-eat buffet where everyone unconsciously agrees to use their best manners.
That's a great way to put it.
Now, hearing all of this, how soft they are, how they purr like kittens, and how they cuddle with dogs, it is totally natural to wonder, can I have a capybara as a pet?
It is definitely the most common question people ask when they see videos of them.
I mean, I want one.
I get it. But the short, absolute answer is no.
Right. They might look like giant cuddly dogs, but they are wild animals with wildly specific needs.
Very specific.
Think about it from their perspective. Imagine someone swoops in, takes you away from your family, your school, and all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lock you in a room where nobody speaks your language and there isn't even a swimming pool.
Sounds awful.
That is what being a household pet feels like to a capybara.
It is deeply distressing for them. As we discussed earlier, they rely on their herd for emotional regulation.
Right. Without the herd, the chill button breaks.
Exactly. A solitary capybara is constantly anxious because it has no lookout team.
That's so sad.
And physically, they require massive outdoor spaces and deep pools of water to regulate their body temperature.
For their liquid coolant toes.
Yes. Without water to swim in daily, their skin dries out and cracks. They also need tough, specialized grasses to wear down their teeth, which never stop growing.
Oh, like a beaver.
Exactly.
And if they get sick, your local dog and cat vet isn't going to know how to help a giant exotic rodent.
Not at all.
Plus, it is illegal in many places to own one. We see all these videos on social media of people dressing them up or keeping them in living rooms for views.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But forcing a wild animal into a human environment strips away all the things that make them feel safe. They belong in the wild or, you know, in legitimate spacious sanctuaries with their own kind where we can admire them from a respectful distance.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, our goal shouldn't be to capture them. Our goal should be to learn from them.
Learn from them?
The capybara is a masterclass in how to navigate a stressful world.
I love that. We can't keep them, but we can practice what they do.
Absolutely.
We can practice strategic stillness. When something loud, scary, or unexpected happens in your day, instead of instantly panicking or getting angry, you can take a deep breath, pause, and calmly figure out your next move.
Just like the capybara deciding whether to freeze in the grass or quietly slip into the river.
Exactly.
And we can also practice communal grounding.
What's that?
That means leaning on our own herds. When you feel worried or overwhelmed, you don't have to hide in the water alone.
Right.
You can talk to your friends, your parents, or your teachers. Surrounding yourself with people you trust buffers you against stress.
Just like the capybara relies on the purrs and whistles of its family to feel safe.
Beautifully said.
So the next time you, listening right now, feel totally overwhelmed by a big homework assignment or a loud noise or just a really busy day, channel your inner giant rodent.
Find your chill.
Take a deep breath, find your herd, and find your chill.
It is an incredible biological lesson. They prove to us that peace isn't just about doing nothing.
No, it's a choice.
Right. Peace is an active, practiced skill. It is something you cultivate inside yourself and something you share with everyone around you.
Wow. We have covered an amazing amount of ground today on our giant semi-aquatic friends.
We really have.
We discovered how their parasympathetic nervous system acts as a biological pause button, pumping the hug hormone through their brains.
Mm-hmm.
We learned how their liquid coolant toes and webbed feet make them the ultimate furry submarines.
The best submarines.
We listened to the typewriter chatter of their super supportive babysitting herds. And we unraveled the mystery of their advanced social cognition, which lets them read the room and make friends with birds, monkeys, and even crocodiles simply by choosing to be calm.
They are a living testament to millions of years of evolution.
They really are.
They prove that surviving in a dangerous world doesn't always require being the fastest, the loudest, or the fiercest. Sometimes survival belongs to the most adaptable and the most composed.
So what does this all mean? It means that true calmness is a superpower. It keeps you safe, it saves your energy, and it helps you make friends with all sorts of different neighbors in the great big buffet of life.
Exactly.
But as we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought to chew on.
Ooh, what's that?
If total, intentional calmness is the capybara's secret superpower for surviving the wild jungle, what other quiet superpowers might other animals be hiding right in our own backyards simply because we were too busy paying attention to the loud, the fast, and the scary animals? Something to think about the next time you're looking out your window. Thanks for joining us and stay curious.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.